Chapter 2. "You still up?" Darcy's mother asked when she got home. "I couldn't sleep." Mom settled into her recliner. "I need to sit down and catch my breath, baby, before I shower and go to bed. What a night we had. Two boys in critical from drive-bys, a four-car accident on the freeway, a broken neck, plus the usual fevers and chest pains, and then we had a memo from our new administrator. Seems like we're wasting money." Darcy hoped she might get the chance to talk to her mother about problems at school and maybe about Jamie's attitude. Darcy went to get some hot chocolate for them, but by the time she returned, her mother was dozing. "Mom?" Darcy asked softly, but Mom's even breathing continued. She was exhausted. Darcy didn't have the heart to rouse her. There was so much Darcy wanted to talk about. When Mom was 16, was she popular at school? What do you do when you're a loner and you can't seem to break out of it? And Jamie. She was worried about Jamie. A few times, Darcy saw her riding in a car with some boys from Blueford. Jamie was only in middle school. Those older guys scared Darcy. Some were gangster wannabes. One of them, Bobby Wallace, had already been in trouble with the police for something or other. Once, last week, Darcy had tried to talk to her mother about Jamie, but Mom just said, "Oh, she'll be okay. She's at that age when kids try to rebel and take things to the extreme. I was lucky with you, praise the Lord. You never went through that phase, Darcy. Your sister is a different story. Y'all have always been different as night and day. But Jamie's a smart girl and she'll come out of this phase pretty soon." Darcy drank down her hot chocolate and rinsed out the cups. Then she headed for her room. She sat on the edge of the bed for a few minutes, staring at photographs on her dresser. Mom, Grandmom, her, and Jamie. There had been older family photographs with Dad included, but they were all hidden away, somewhere. Darcy remembered the last photo taken with Dad. It showed 11-year-old Darcy in braids and blue ribbons, wearing a lovely blue dress with a lacy collar, and Jamie, 9, her big brown eyes bright with mischief. That was taken a few months before Dad left. It had been harder on Jamie than on Darcy when Dad left. Darcy was closer to Mom, but Jamie was Daddy's little girl. They went to basketball games together and just seemed to have a companionship that Darcy never had with her father. On a family hike in the Laguna Mountains, Jamie and her father chose a special tree, a giant cedar. One day, they stood by their tree, and Dad dubbed Jamie Princess of the World, surprising her with a tiny crown for her head. Jamie's squeals of joy had echoed through the forest that day. "Why did Daddy leave us?" Jamie had demanded tearfully when it was clear he would not be coming home. "Leaving was more fun than staying," Mom had answered bitterly. Darcy always suspected her mother had seen some warning signs, but to Darcy and Jamie, it had been a complete shock. Jamie made up stories for a long time after, trying to explain why her father had left. She had shared them with Darcy. Daddy had a terrible disease, and he did not want to burden his family with it. He had some secret government job that was so dangerous, he couldn't risk being around his family anymore. But eventually, even Jamie had laughed at her own fantasies. She had grudgingly accepted her mother's simple explanation. Daddy had found something else that meant more to him than his family. Darcy remembered it was about then that Jamie slowly began to change, to have angry, sad moods, to be cynical. Darcy went to bed, but she did not sleep for a while. She relived her last meeting with her father when he took her and Jamie for ice cream on a hot August afternoon. Darcy later figured it was the best way he could manage to say goodbye. Darcy and Jamie were just little girls, so they didn't question his heavy step, the way his jaw was set. They were too busy deciding between chocolate chip and strawberry ice cream to pay attention to his odd mumbling. "Nothing ever happens around here, except I'm getting older." He talked about being a teenager in New York and what a happening place it was, about the jazz clubs and dancing until dawn.
"Man grows too fast around here," he said. "Gets dead before they put him in the box."
The day Dad left, he kissed Darcy, then kissed and hugged Jamie so hard that she giggled and protested. After putting the girls on a trolley home, he had turned and walked away faster than Darcy had ever seen him walk before. Darcy didn't think about it then, but now she figured he walked away so quickly because he knew what he was doing was wrong. The faster he walked away, the sooner he could escape the truth that he was abandoning his wife and daughters. Darcy forced herself to stop remembering and finally fell asleep. In the morning, she dreaded the thought of going to school and seeing Tara. Darcy pondered different ways of handling the problem. Finally, when she walked into class, she just sat beside Tara and said briskly, "Hi, you said your boyfriend could drive us to the tidal pool. When could he do that?" Tara was sketching in her notebook. To Darcy's surprise, she was drawing pretty horses prancing across the pages. "Saturday afternoon," Tara said without looking up. "That'd be good," Darcy replied, still staring at the sketches. "I didn't know you drew stuff." "I do lots of things you don't know about," Tara said in a testy voice. "Those are good drawings," Darcy said. "Why are you being so nice, girl?" Tara demanded. "I'm not, I'm just..." "My mama says when folks who used to look down their noses at you start being nice, look out. They butter you up, then they stick you in the oven," Tara said. "That's the kind of thing my Aunt Charlotte would say," Darcy blurted out. "She's suspicious of everybody. She has a good job, and she's saving her money, and she means to be the only one spending any, and she lives alone to make sure of that." Tara was silent for a moment, as if she was surprised at how honest Darcy was being. "I wouldn't want to live by myself," she said. "It'd be too lonely." "My grandma is the opposite of Aunt Charlotte. She says it's worth it to have friends, even if once in a while somebody does you wrong. She says love is worth it, even when it hurts." Darcy could not believe she was sharing something so personal with Tara. She had never shared family stuff with anyone, not even Brisanna. For lunch that day, Darcy and Brisanna met at their usual spot. They liked it under an oak tree where it was shady and secluded. "Poor Darcy," Brisanna said as she pried open her container of yogurt. "How can you stand working with that dumb fat girl?" Darcy wished Brisanna would not make fun of Tara, but she kept her thoughts to herself. "I'm making the best of it. Miss Reed stuck me with Lori Sampson. What a fool. And she has that terrible case of zits, too. I think Miss Reed resents pretty girls because she's so plain looking. Can you imagine what she looked like when she was a teenager?" Brisanna rocked back, laughing. "Cooper Hodden is driving me and Tara to the tidal pool on Saturday," Darcy said. "Oh, Darcy, you're riding with that loser?" Brisanna cried, almost dropping her yogurt. "I never ride with him. I mean, Cooper is just the kind of fool who would date somebody like Tara Carson." Darcy munched on her apple. Brisanna rarely had anything nice to say about anybody. Darcy remembered sitting with her many times while both of them talked bad about other kids. "That girl dressed like she wore clothes from a thrift store, and that boy's breath smelled of garlic. And what stupid answers they gave in class." It seemed fun at the time, but now Darcy wondered if that was what she really wanted to do anymore, day after day. Brisanna leaned back in the grass, smiling. "Guess what? Hakeem Randall thinks he's got a shot at being valedictorian in 2 years. Hakeem, he stutters for crying out loud." "Only when he's really nervous," Darcy said in a small voice. She had never told Brisanna about her crush on Hakeem. He was bright, cute, and sweet, but very, very shy. "Yeah, right. Can you just imagine how much that boy would stutter if he was valedictorian? He would just stand there looking stupid because he'd be so nervous. Everybody look at him and say, 'What a fool.'" Darcy glanced at her watch. "Oh, I gotta get some books from the library before next period," she said. "See you later, Darcy, and good luck with the pig girl," Brisanna said, gathering her books. Darcy wanted to say, "Please don't call her that. It really bothers me when you call her that. I mean, I don't like her or anything, but just don't call her a pig girl." But Darcy instead said, "Yeah, see you later." Darcy was in the school library searching for books on tidal pools when she heard a familiar voice. Bobby Wallace was with a friend on the other side of the bookshelves. Darcy drew closer without the boy seeing her. "How'd you get a hold of that CD, man?" the other boy asked Bobby.
Got me a girl who'll do anything for me, you hear what I'm saying? She in the store, and I say, grab me that. And she will, because she do anything I ask, see? She crazy about me, you hear me? Bobby boasted. Don't she get caught or nothing? The other boy asked. Nah, man, she's smooth. Besides, that fool's so busy with another customer, he don't see nothing. I pipe the tune and she dances, you hear what I'm saying? Bobby bragged. She only 14, but man, she looks so good, everybody thinks she 18. Darcy felt as if a bolt of electricity had gone through her. Was Bobby talking about Jamie? He had to be. She was the only middle school girl Darcy ever saw hanging with Bobby and his friends. There was always loud music blasting from Bobby's car, and guys leaning out, picking on kids they would spot on the sidewalk. Jamie was vulnerable. After all, Bobby was good-looking and older, and she had to be the girl dancing to the tune he was piping, stealing for him. That was bad enough, but how soon would it be before she was in the car during a drive-by shooting or something? Last year, a pair of older kids convinced a 15-year-old girl to shoot another driver as part of a gang initiation. Now she was facing a murder charge as an adult. When Darcy got home from school, she fed Grandma her pudding, then waited for Jamie. Darcy could not even open her books and start her homework until she talked to her sister. Mom had to rush to the hospital to make a staff meeting before her shift began. Everybody at the hospital was jittery about new cutbacks ever since the hospital hired a new administrator who promised to raise profits. Alone in the apartment, Darcy looked out the window and waited for her sister. Jamie was late. Finally, an hour later than usual, Bobby Wallace dropped her off in his red Nissan. When Jamie came into the apartment, Darcy confronted her. What are you doing hanging out with those people? They're too old for you. You're only in middle school. Stick with kids your own age, not punks from Bluford. Jamie threw down her backpack and glared at Darcy. They're not punks. They're my friends. The kids at middle school are stupid. Bobby Wallace is trouble, Darcy snapped. He is not, Jamie almost screamed. Jamie, be quiet or you'll wake up Grandma, Darcy warned. Who cares? Jamie shouted all the louder. She doesn't know if she's awake or sleeping anyway. And you don't know anything about Bobby Wallace. Everybody likes him, and there are girls who die for a chance to be in my shoes with Bobby. But he likes me best, and you're just jealous because you're a sophomore in high school and you don't even have a boyfriend. You need to get a life and leave me alone. Darcy felt the blood rushing to her face. She was handling this all wrong. Instead of helping Jamie, she was making her angry, which would drive her even closer to Bobby. Forcing her anger away, Darcy took a deep breath and stared at her sister. Jamie, are you stealing stuff for Bobby? Darcy demanded. Stealing? Jamie repeated in a high-pitched tone. Darcy could always tell when Jamie was lying. Her voice went up an octave and trembled. Why would I do that? Who says such a stupid thing? Bobby was telling his friend at school today that he had you wrapped around his finger and that you stole for him. He was laughing about it, and the other guy was laughing too. Bobby said you were just a stupid little kid, and it was fun to make you dance to his tune. Darcy changed what Bobby had said a little, but she kept the main point. She felt bad for hurting Jamie, but she had to do it to help her sister. Jamie stood there, a strange, terrible look on her face, as if her heart had been stopped. She turned ashen. You're lying. Lying. Bobby wouldn't have said those things. He likes me. He loves me. Darcy was absolutely sure now that Jamie was the girl Bobby was talking about. Do you want to get in trouble and go to jail because of some lousy punk who just soon dish you as kiss you? Jamie, you should have heard them laughing about that CD you stole, about how stupid you were. Bobby said you'd do anything for him because you were a puppet on a string, Darcy said. Jamie clamped her hands over her ears and screamed. Stop it! I hate you! I hate you! She turned and ran into her room, slamming the door so forcefully that the apartment wall shook. In a second's time, loud rap music thumped through the apartment. And it's you I blame for making this noise, for causing this pain, for taking my voice. And I needed to stop, like a tired old clock, before my body drops and my mind pops. Darcy stood outside the closed door of her sister's room. Mingled with the blasts of furious music were other sounds,
Loud sobs, things striking the walls, the sound of shattering glass.